All right, the study this month is on tidings of comfort and joy. Tidings of comfort and joy. And Christmas is about 2 weeks away, December 25th. How many here are excited about Christmas? Maybe some of you are. Maybe for some of you, Christmas is a tough time. And, you know, so many people in America have their different ideas about Christmas. Some people think that Christmas is about the lights and the sights. Some people think that Christmas is about spending time with friends and family. Some people think that Christmas is about exchanging gifts. And that's good and well. But we know as believers in Jesus Christ what the true reason for the season is. Amen? Yes. Christmas is a celebration of the birth of Jesus into this world over 2,000 years ago. Amen?
Yes.
And I encourage you this Christmas, in your spheres of influence, to share that with people. Tell them, you know what? Tell that person that God puts across your path. You know what the true reason for the Christmas season is? It's a celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ into this world over 2,000 years ago. And that'll be a channel for you to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with that person. Take advantage of that this Christmas season to share the true reason of the Christmas season with those around you.
Amen.
All right. Tonight's text is from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. And the message is tidings of comfort and joy. Luke chapter 2, verse 1. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped them in cloths and placed them in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." So we have this evening here. And this angel appears to these humble and lowly shepherds. And they were terrified when they saw the angel. Who knows what was going through the minds of these humble shepherds? They might have been thinking, are we in the wrong place at the wrong time? And the angel sensed that they were terrified. And what did he say? He said, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." So the angel came to bring good news of great joy. Let me ask you this here tonight. Think about this. Why was the birth of Jesus good news of great joy? Great joy. So you have to understand something about the history of Israel at this time. Israel was in a dark period during the time of the birth of Jesus. They were under the oppressive rule of the Roman Empire, headed by Caesar Augustus. Herod was king over Judea. And the Roman Empire was taxing the people oppressively. So Israel, at the time of the birth of Jesus, was under this oppressive regime, this oppressive rule of the Roman Empire. And during this oppressive time in Israel's history, the joy giver was born into the world in a manger in Bethlehem. And this was reason for good news of great joy. See, Matthew writes that he was Emmanuel, God with us. John writes, "The Word became flesh and made His dwelling amongst us." He made His dwelling amongst the people.
Amen.
Even though times were oppressive for Israel under Roman domination, they could have joy, gladness of heart, because the joy giver came to live amongst them.
Yes.
I'm going to read something from Jesus Calling by Sarah Young. It's a 365-day devotional. This is from November 5th. And this is what she writes. This is what she writes. People tend to think their circumstances determine the quality of their lives. So they pour their energy into trying to control those situations. They feel happy when things are going well and sad or frustrated when things don't turn out as they'd hoped. They rarely question this correlation between their circumstances and feelings. In my paraphrase of this, people tend to link gladness of heart, they tend to link their joy to external circumstances. You ever been there? So that when things are going well for people, they say, you know what, I've got joy. Things are going well in my life, man. I've got joy. I've got a good bill of health. I've got enough money. People like me. Things are going well, man. I've got joy. I am happy. But the opposite is also true. The opposite is also true. If they're linking their feelings of joy to external circumstances, and external circumstances are not going so well, they say they've lost their joy. And maybe that's you here tonight. Maybe that is you here tonight. Maybe you have linked your feelings to external circumstances and situations in your life. Maybe you received a bad bill of health and you've lost your joy. Maybe you don't have enough money to even pay your bills for the month. Maybe you are in conflict with someone or someones. Maybe you are grieving a loss tonight of something or somebody, and life has been really tough. Maybe life has thrown you a curve, and you might be thinking tonight, man, life has been so tough. I just have no joy on the inside. I'm just not happy. I can't believe that these things have happened to me in life. I'm in conflict with people. I don't have enough finances. I don't have good health. I'm grieving tonight. Life is so tough, I don't have joy. And maybe that's the way you're thinking tonight, because maybe you've linked your feelings of joy to external circumstances. We've all done that at one time or another. How many here would agree here tonight? But I've got good news for you here tonight. Here's the good news. The good news is that you can have the joy of the Lord even when situations around you are dark and oppressive. Is that good news here tonight? Say it with me tonight. I can have joy. I can have the joy of the Lord. Even when situations in my life are dark and oppressive. Remember what I said a few minutes ago. Even though Israel was in a dark period at the time of Christ's birth, they could have great joy because the joy giver came to live amongst them. Jesus was the joy giver, born as a baby in a manger in Bethlehem. Joy. I want to talk tonight for the next few minutes about joy in the midst of your hard times. But let me read you this quote real quick from the Speaker's Quote Book. Good quote from William Vanderhaven. Joy is not the absence of trouble, but the presence of Christ. Think about that. Joy is not the absence of trouble, but the presence of Christ. So I want to talk to you about joy in the midst of your hard times. Tonight, if you're lacking financially, tonight, if you're sick in your body, tonight, if you're in conflict with someone, tonight, if you've experienced a loss and you're grieving, if you're depressed on the inside and life is really tough for you tonight, remember, the joy giver, Jesus Christ, is with you if He is your Savior and your Lord. If you're going through a hard time in your life tonight, if you're going through trial and tribulation in your life tonight, remember this, the joy giver, Jesus Christ, is with you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Amen?
Amen.
You've got to shift your perspective. Tell yourself, even though life is tough, I've got the greatest gift that outweighs the pain of my trials. This gift that I have is Jesus Christ, God the Son, who lives on the inside of me and reigns on the throne of my heart. You've got to shift your perspective. Let me say it again. Tell yourself, even though life is tough, even though I'm going through hardship tonight, I've got the greatest gift that outweighs the pain of all my trials. That gift is Jesus Christ, my Savior and my Lord. You can have joy in the midst of hard times in your life. Tell yourself tonight, if I were to take my last breath tonight, in the midst of my hardships, my next breath would be in heaven, in the presence of God, with Jesus forever. That's enough cause for joy in the midst of hardship. Is that good news here tonight? So in the same reading of November 5th by Sarah Young, Jesus Calling, she says this. She says, put more energy into trusting me, that's trusting God and enjoying my presence. Don't let your well-being depend on your circumstances. Instead, connect your joy to my precious promises. If life is tough, friend, if you're going through a hardship, if you lack financially, if you're sick in your body, if people are mad at you, if life has thrown you a curve and it's really, really difficult right now, connect your joy to the promises found in Scripture. What does Paul write in Philippians chapter 4? Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. Here's a promise. And my God will meet all your needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. That was for the Philippians, but it applies to us today. My God will meet all of your needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Friend, I'm here to encourage you tonight. If you remember nothing else, don't connect your joy to your external circumstances, because external circumstances in your life, in my life, will get tough. Connect your joy to the promises of God found in the Scripture. What does God say in Hebrews 13, verse 5? Here's another one. Here's another promise. Amen. Hebrews 13, verse 5. What does the Word of God say? God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. God will never leave you. God will never forsake you. God has got your back. You may be going through a tough time. You may be going through a tribulation. You may be going through a trial in your life. You might think that you're all alone, but God is telling you tonight that He will never leave you. God will never forsake you. That is a promise of God found in Scripture. And God is good to His Word. God is not a man that He should lie. God never lies and never could lie. He is faithful to His promises. Let me ask you here tonight. How do you have joy connected to God's promises? How do you have joy on the inside in relation to the promises of God found in Scripture? Think about that. How do you have joy in place of sorrow connected to God's promises found in Scripture? Anybody, one word. Yes, sir. Stay connected to the Spirit. That's good. By faith in God. By faith in God. Knowing that you know deep down on the inside that God can turn your situation around for the better. Friend, this is called joyful expectation. Let me read you a little illustration here from the quote book. Little illustration. Many years ago, a great earthquake did considerable damage in San Francisco, California. Many buildings were wrecked by the quake and others through the fire started by the earth tremors. In the midst of this great tragedy, an elderly grandmother was observed sitting in her rocking chair on her front lawn and singing. A passerby asked her how she could be so happy when the earth was cracking up. Now here's her response. Her reply was, I'm rejoicing to see how my God can change things. That's an expectant joy. Your joy has got to be connected to God's promises by faith. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God, she who comes to God, must believe that God exists and that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. You can have joy in the midst of your hardship, knowing that you know deep down on the inside that you serve a miracle-working God. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. When Jesus walked this earth over 2,000 years ago, He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil because God was with Him. And God is with you, Emmanuel. And God wants to do an awesome miracle in your life. You might be lacking financially, but God can turn it around for you financially where you can pay your bills and even save some money at the end of the month.
Amen.
You might have gotten a bad health diagnosis, but God can turn it around for the better by giving you health in place of sickness. He is the divine surgeon. You may be in conflict with somebody, but I'm here to tell you tonight that we serve a God of reconciliation, and God can bring peace between you and that other person. This is joyful expectation based on faith in God concerning the promises found in His Word. Nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. Friend, my question to you tonight is this: what has God promised you? What has God promised you in your life? What miracle has God said He would bring about in your life? You've got to know that you know that you know deep down on the inside that God is able to do it for you. What's the thing that honors God? What is the thing that God is so pleased with? Faith. If you honor God with your faith, knowing that you know deep down on the inside that God can change the situation in your life, that God can turn it around for you, then God will honor you with the miracle that you're expecting in your life. Friends, that's how you can have joy. It's a season of joy. That's how you can have joy in the midst of hardship. By faith in a miracle-working God. God never changes. The God who performed miracles in the Old Testament, the God who performed miracles in the New Testament, is the same God who can perform a miracle in your life tonight. God is not always early. God is not late. God is right on time. He's going to bring about that miracle in your life right when you need it. And at that point, you'll just be exploding with the joy of the Lord on the inside of you. Amen?
Amen.
Just got to know that you know that you know. Let me just pull an illustration from Scripture where Jesus did miracles. If you read the Gospels, Jesus went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil because God was with Him. Matthew chapter 9. Preached this before, but it bears repeating. It was the two blind men. As Jesus went on from there, Matthew 9:27, two blind men followed Him calling out, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." And I believe that these two blind men had expectant joy. They just knew that their situation was going to turn around for the better. Why? Because they had faith in a big God. When He had gone indoors, the blind men came to Him and He asked them, "Do you believe that I'm able to do this?" In other words, "Do you believe that I'm able to restore your sight?" "Yes, Lord," they replied. That was a confident yes of faith. Then He touched their eyes and said, "According to your faith, will it be done to you." And their sight was restored. Sight was restored. Jesus warned them sternly, "See that no one knows about this," but they went out and spread the news about Him all over that region. I believe that these two blind men who received their sight were exploding, overflowing on the inside with the joy of the Lord. But they were able to live in joy even while they were blind. Why? Because they had faith in a big God. They knew that God could turn it around for them in their lives. Faith is knowing that you know deep down on the inside that God can do it for you. And God is looking for a persistent faith. He's looking for a persevering faith. He's looking for faith that doesn't give up when times get tough. You know, when God promised Abraham that he'd make him into a great nation, Abraham was how old? He was 75. And when the promised son Isaac was born, through whom the great nation was come, how old was Abraham? He was 100. If you take 100 minus 75, that's how many years? That is 25 years. 25 years. Abraham, without wavering in his faith, believed that God was faithful. He was living with expectant joy, anticipation that he would become the great nation that God had promised him. Is that good news here tonight?
Amen.
See, his joy was not connected to the fact that from 75 and some years forward, he didn't have a son. His joy was connected to the fact that he had faith in a miracle-working God, that God would be faithful to his promise. And he had a persistent faith. He had a persevering faith. And maybe you've been believing God maybe for a month or maybe a year, or maybe you've been believing God for 5 years or maybe 10 years for that miracle. And you're starting to waver in your faith. I'm here to tell you tonight, don't waver in your faith. Get into the Word of God. Read the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Build your faith up by reading the Word of God, by reading the Gospels, by reading of the miracles Jesus did when he walked this earth over 2,000 years ago. Build up your faith by being in communication with God, by praying to God, not just once in a blue moon, but being in continual communication and prayer with God. And if you have this faith in God, even when times are tough, if you have this faith in God, even though you've been waiting a long time for the breakthrough, guess what? You will be living with joyful expectation. Even though situations around you might be tough, you can still have joy on the inside because you think to yourself, I know deep down on the inside that I serve a miracle-working God and He's about to do something wonderful, miraculous in my life. Is that good news here tonight? God loves you so very much. This is the season of love. This is the season of joy. Keep that joy up in God. Remember, Jesus Christ, the joy giver, lives on the inside of you. Amen?
Amen.
Joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Amen?